I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. It is really the dead of summer. I've been saying this for like the last three or four episodes in a row, but no, we're really dead now. So to pass the time on a very beautiful Friday afternoon in Toronto, Joe Wolfon from The Score.
Heidi ho.
And Josh Hart from My Heart.
How's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I feel like you need a media affiliation. We'll just make one up for you.
I don't know.
From Tip of the Tower.
The Charlatan, Carleton's weekly.
Oh, yeah, shout out.
Shout out to Carleton University.
Support student journalism.
Yeah, that's how you got your start.
Yes, exactly.
Did you write for your school paper?
I did, yeah. Dalhousie Gazette.
Dalhousie. Is it a party school?
I mean, that's my... I don't know. I don't think like any more so than any other like institution in Canada. Like,
all right. Yeah.
I mean, it's Halifax, right? So yeah. There's only so much to do there.
Yeah. What is there to do in Halifax? I might be going next month.
This
is the part of the podcast already, all right? We're going to get to all the pressing Raptors news, I promise. But first, Halifax attractions.
No, I mean, there's like really great markets there. Like, there's the ocean. Right. Go to Point Pleasant, which is just like a great like rock beach on the Atlantic Ocean, which is beautiful. Peggy's Cove is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's lots of stuff to get like to do there. There's good restaurants, amazing seafood.
Okay. Do you eat seafood?
Yeah, I love seafood.
Oh, yeah, we had fish last week.
We shout out Chop Chop.
Yeah, shout out Chop Chop.
Yeah, go like eat some lobster and some salmon in Halifax.
What's in Halifax? Training camp?
No, I just want to go. It was one of those like flight deals.
Oh, okay.
It was like $120.
Really?
Back and forth. I don't want to tell people this. I'm going to leave this on the podcast.
YYZ,
I
want to
make sure
YYZ
I buy my ticket first before then. Yes, but it is a YYZ deal. Speaking of YYZ, the team here, that's a horrible transition.
Stuff.
All right, so like I've got general topics, but I promise you none of these are too substantive. The first one is the schedule got released.
Whoa.
Exciting news. Joey, did you enjoy the probably 40 minutes to about an hour when NBA Twitter came alive and everyone just had scoops, quote unquote, about how many back-to-backs there were?
No. Like, I mean, it's good. Look, it's good that there are fewer back-to-backs, and I think they're reducing them every season, which is ultimately a good thing. But I don't know. The thing, like, nothing about the schedule being released ever really excites me because we know that these games are going to happen. Like, we know that they're going to play every Western Conference team two times and, you know, a bunch of Eastern Conference teams three times and some of them four times. Like, nothing about it, aside from them getting a Christmas game, which, hell, is really nice. But the schedule release just doesn't really move the needle for me. Because, I don't know. It's just we know that they're going to play all the teams.
They're going to have a schedule. They'll have a, yeah, I guess Christmas is cool. It sucks. I've always wanted a Christmas Day game for the Raptors.
Okay, explain why.
Because
I never really fully saw the appeal, but also we've been working on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So
I am at home. I just, you know.
We work on Christmas Day every year anyway.
I know.
I'm Jewish, so it makes no difference to me. Yeah. But
and I'm atheist, so I don't care.
So well, we feel like Christmas is a religious holiday, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I would watch the Christmas games with my family. It would just be fun to see the Raptors, especially when they were good. And I was watching stupid, like, the Knicks. The Knicks had Christmas games. I think, didn't they have one last year? Like, it's horrible.
Yeah, they have one every year.
So I'm glad that the Raptors are getting their due. But besides that, I loved the moment on NBA Twitter when everyone said, breaking, NBA schedule gets released at 3 p.m., which is just, it's not
great
news.
Scoop.
It's
amazing scoop. You know what that is? That's a PR email.
Yeah,
you got
it's
sent,
so
like,
rough.
But Will, to answer your question, I mean, what, you're saying you're not excited about the Christmas Day game or you don't care? Like, you know what it is. It's like the
it's a big
the status
showcase.
Thing.
It is. It's a status thing. I get that part of it. I just thought, I don't know, man. I wasn't like ever pining for the Christmas Day game. I wanted them to have one just because then players that can see that if you sign in Toronto, you could potentially get to this level of fame.
Yeah.
Of course, apparently, and you need to win a championship to do it. But, like, you know, that's nice. But, I mean, I didn't particularly care for it. But it is nice that we're playing the Celtics.
Well, think about if they had won the championship and then hadn't gotten a Christmas Day game.
That'd be out of control. We'd riot. Like, yeah. We'd go back to Nathan Phillips Square or and then shoot somebody. It just wouldn't be okay.
We don't condone this. But it is
but
Toronto.
It's like you were saying, you know, like people, like players look at that and see, you know, that it's possible to play in Toronto and get some sort of national exposure.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
If, you know, winning a championship isn't enough to, like, get on national TV for one of the biggest days of the NBA calendar, then that does say something.
It says something pretty bad about the league.
Mm.
It's yeah. Just to say, if you're a small market, you can't win.
You're right. And Toronto isn't a small market. I think that's why people get real frustrated. But obviously, due to other issues, it is sort of seen more as a small market. I guess the one thing I liked about the Christmas game the most is that, like, because it's such a big spotlight and such a big showcase, it ensures the Raptors won't, like, do any sort of rebuilding moves until at least then. I want this team
to
be
competitive.
That's
a good point. That's a really good point.
So from that perspective, I'm like, at least this team is going to be good until December. And if you look at the schedule, like, a lot of the tough games, like, they have one 5-game road trip. That's their longest road trip, which seems kind of wild. Usually I feel like the longest road trip is like 8 or 9 games or something.
Were they in early?
No.
It was like at least 7 games.
Yeah, there was always that.
They
November
always go to the West
trip,
Coast for
be
7
gone
games
forever. They would do like Utah, OKC.
I think last
Portland,
year 6
and then
games.
Do the LA teams.
6 games was the longest last year.
Right.
Was that yeah. Same November.
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe it was, I want to say it was in December when they
yeah, when they
that
did
trip
the,
when they did like the Clippers, Blazers, Warriors.
Oh, the Portland game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The great Lakers game where Kawhi said he never cheered for the Lakers, and then the Raptors blew them out by 20. Awesome. What a year, man.
He said he was an AI fan. Not just like I don't root for the Lakers, but I'm an AI fan particularly.
Yeah, that was really great.
Yeah, that was great.
Do you guys care about the Vince trip to Toronto? Because I don't know.
I thought they should have put the Vince game last game of the season.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then
in Toronto. Because we know Vince is for sure done.
Yeah. Do they retire his jersey that day?
I mean, they could have if they put it the last game. But they put it as the second last home game for the Raptors. So I guess it'd be kind of a distraction to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he might be on the Raptors at that point in time, right? That's still on the table. He could get bought out.
Why would he doesn't he isn't his home in Atlanta?
No, he's
I think
he's
just
he's
in
Daytona.
Atlanta. Isn't I think he wants to be in Atlanta because like that's where all the TV people are.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. He's definitely going to take a job at Turner.
Yeah, so that makes sense. But otherwise, I don't know.
Why does he have to be in Atlanta now for those purposes? Like, he,
so he can do studio
just go,
spots
like, straight
on.
Just go like straight from the game into the booth.
Yeah.
They're like, and now next on Game Time, we have Vince Carter. And Vince Carter like steps into the studio. You're like, bro, you just played.
I did. He didn't play. He won't play.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, he just like won't travel with the team. Like when the team's on the road, he'll be That'd in like be the TNT studio.
What a flex. Just, I don't travel with the team when they're on the road. I'm just, I don't know, he's replacing the starters.
Oh, man.
Oh, sorry. Was that a sore subject?
No, I mean, I just, you know, they're great people, and I feel like someone should sign the starters soon.
Are they not? Is it not announced what they're doing next?
No, they're technically free agents right now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Them and Jeremy Lin.
Oh, my sorry. God. Don't. Poor Jeremy, man. Poor Jeremy. There's a great article out on Jeremy right now that was in some Chinese publication. It was published in English, but...
In Tencent?
It was not Tencent. It was like RADII.
He could...
I don't know.
He could go overseas and have like a great overseas playing career.
Yeah.
But he's an American. He wants to be an Asian American celebrity. I don't think he cares about being an Asian celebrity.
But he'll continue to be an Asian American celebrity. Like... That status won't disappear.
But Will, would you leave Yahoo Sports Canada to be
Tencent?
Like lead NBA reporter at Tencent?
it's got to be a lot of money, man. I got a good situation here.
But look, if you happen to be totally washed, on this
continent, after you say something like truly problematic about Hassan Whiteside or something,
it's coming.
Damn.
Anyway, no, I'm not saying, like, obviously it sucks for him, and I feel bad for him, and that was, like, quite a wrenching press conference that he gave, but I think he still has a lot of good options available to him, and...
He'll realize he'll be okay in the long run.
He will, for sure, definitely. And he could go play overseas, whether it's in Europe or whether it's in China, and be successful on and off the court, I think.
No, he's a superstar.
Yeah, he is a superstar, whether he likes it or not. Yeah. Okay, so that's the schedule release. Next topic, Kyle Lowry ruled out for USA basketball because he's not fully healed from his thumb surgery just yet.
Was there a chance I didn't.
I thought it was expected that he wasn't going to play.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. It sounded like he was just going to camp to hang out, be nice to. Who are the guards on this USA basketball team that are still there?
It's like literally
Donovan
the Celtics.
Mitchell,
it's the whole Celtics plus
De'Aaron
Donovan
Fox.
Mitchell.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox. Like, I think he just went to be
Marcus
nice to De'Aaron
Smart.
Fox and said, okay, see you guys later.
They're like, Kyle, what are you doing here?
I gotta go take the Larry O'B back to Insomnia Cookies. Or
Wow.
He has to.
Yeah,
He has to take the Larry O'B to that restaurant him and Kawhi hung out at. It's my dream.
There's so many good memories. Someone should really write the story of what happened in the Insomnia Cookies, what they ordered, what time they got in, who else was with them.
What they smelled
who
like.
Who paid. Yeah, all sorts of things. It was not far from the hotel. Yeah. What they stayed in Philadelphia, in downtown. It was like, I think like 2 blocks over. This is a bit creepy that I looked it up.
I mean, that was really the turning point in the postseason, right?
It really was.
When they were on the ropes.
That and when Pascal tried to trip Joel Embiid. Those were the...
That was haunting, man.
That I thought the Raptors were like a championship team. Because you don't really... Like, the Raptors rolled over in the past when things were going that poorly. Mm-hmm. Pascal was like, fuck that. I'm going to... try to trip someone that it sounds like he genuinely looks up to and thinks of as a friend.
Yeah.
Because he wants to win that bad.
Yeah. It was No, it was bad, man. That game was like game 3 against Philadelphia was like the only time throughout the not the only time. Game 2 against the Bucks was pretty bad too. But it was the only time throughout the playoffs where I was just like, man, I don't know the Raptors can beat this team. They're just getting like flat out beat, you know what I mean?
So back to Kyle Lowry not playing USA basketball. Yeah. I don't know.
Are you guys worried? Do you think he'll be healthy in time for the regular season? Do you think Kyle will have a healthy regular season?
That's a good topic.
It's relative, right? Like, what would you consider a healthy regular season for him at this point?
70 games, which he hasn't done in
I don't think he'll need
now.
To. I think he played so much because Fred was always injured last year. Like, Fred was in and out, especially in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
If we have a healthy Fred and a Jeremy Lin that wasn't a nothing burger, I think Kyle Lowry...
Would you rather have Jeremy Lin or Cameron Payne?
Probably Jeremy Lin.
Josh.
Man, Cam Payne is really bad.
Yeah.
Cam Payne shoots with his feet, pointing like the opposite direction of how he's shooting. I don't know how he does it, man.
But Jeremy Lin turned the ball over so much. It was nuts to me.
Yeah.
It's weird, though, because he wasn't terrible with Atlanta at the start of the season.
Like, that's the thing. He was actually decent. Like, his true shooting was almost 60%.
Yeah. Wow. And his per 36 were, like, 19 points, 6.5 assists. Like, he was a totally competent backup point guard. Yeah. And I don't know exactly what happened. Like, he just...
Yeah.
Anyway, Do I think that he will have a fully healthy regular season? I don't. Just based on precedent, the way that he plays, his age, like, it just seems unlikely. But, I mean, if he played, what did he play last year, like 65 games?
Yep.
I think he could do that again. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's where his bonus is, so.
Oh, is that where his bonus is at?
Yeah. I don't think that's like.
You know he's hitting that bonus. Oh, like, yeah, he will find a way.
Kyle Lowry's not leaving any money on the table.
So, yeah, but, like, fully healthy, like, he'll have some bumps and bruises. Like, you just hope that he avoids anything serious at
this point. Well, it's the back. The back is what you got to be worried about with Kyle Lowry.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Can you, like, be fully good from a back injury? Like, remember Steve Nash? Like, he was just, like, I mean, it's not, Kyle, I don't think Kyle's back injury is as serious, nearly as serious as Steve Nash's injury. No.
Yeah, but like, you don't see Kyle, like, lying on the ground with, like,
but
the heating
pad. But you saw that last year. Last year, he started doing that. And I was, like, I mean, you old.
But I feel like Nash was.
Yeah, how do you even get his shoulders and his ass on the ground at the same time?
That's a lot, man. It's a lot. You gotta have a lot of towels for that. You gotta have like a bed, like a mattress set up for. Why did they have a mattress set up for Steve Nash? He just had to lie on the ground, like. That's MVP Steve Nash.
Yeah, I think Kyle Lowry will be mostly healthy. I would love to see him take games off. I'd love to see a real season from Fred. I don't think he's been very healthy since the season that he started full time, like the 2016-17 season. So hopefully he's back in that kind of form and Kyle can take some time off. And also to see if we can ever really have Fred VanVleet be the starting point guard for the team, because that's the trajectory it seems to be right now, is they're prepared to hand the keys to Fred. And I'd like to see him start. I would love if Fred started 25 games this year.
I think he probably will probably start around that at both one and two.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, there will be games where Lowry's either injured or resting where Fred will start. And I think they'll probably start alongside each other for at least a few games. Because, like, what are the Raptors doing at the two generally? Like, Norm going to start there or?
It's by committee. If someone steps up and takes the spot, fantastic.
My money would be on Norm being a full-time starting two guard this year. I think he knows that it's kind of a make or break season for him.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him come back. And, you know, he's a Jamaican, so I have to cheer for him.
I was going to say, this is patriotism, but yeah, probably.
But he's like, he's been blocked basically his whole career, right? And this is the first time where I think they're going to give him an opportunity to go out and just earn that job. And I think it could go one of two ways. When he's been overextended in the past, it has not been particularly pretty. I think actually last year was probably the sweet spot for him in terms of his role.
Very efficient, like quietly 48% from the field, 40% from three.
60% true shooting, like and I think kind of paring his game down a little bit and simplifying it was really good for him, and he's not really going to be able to do that, I don't think, in his role this season. So
he's going to take so many bad threes.
That game in the playoffs where he shot 13 threes?
That was the game against the Bucks, right?
And he had a hot patch where he hit like three in a row, like Norman Powell.
Yeah, against the Bucks.
Against
the
Bucks.
And then he missed like eight more.
It's fine. Like, they needed him to take all those shots in that
game.
They were swarming Kawhi and like swinging the ball around, and Norm was open, and they needed him to shoot those. But the shooting off the dribble has just never been there.
No.
And I would prefer for it to just not be there, for him not to really try. But I guess at the same time, you want to see if he can kind of expand his game and do those things. And the cool thing about this season, I guess, is like you can just sort of try shit out because there isn't a ton of expectation.
For sure.
And like what you're talking about with starting Fred 25 games, like, throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. Happens, this is kind of a transitional year. And on the one hand, I think the team can be really competitive still. But on the other hand, I am a little bit more interested in seeing what you have with these guys and what it can look like long term. So I guess what happens at that two spot will be really interesting to that effect.
Yeah, I also, the idea of starting Norm, I think I'd probably start out with trying Norm and basically give him a chance to like hold the position down. And if he really can't do it, then okay, then you got to make some decisions. But also, I guess the fit with Norm as starting two, it also helps in the sense of like who else in the starting lineup is necessarily looking to score, right? Like obviously Pascal is looking to score.
Yep.
Kyle, I don't really know if he looks to score that much. I wouldn't expect too much more than like 15 points a game from Kyle. Maybe 16, but like that'd be pretty good from him.
I mean, he averaged like, 14 and a half last year, like with Kawhi there.
Yeah. Once your scoring starts dipping, I don't really feel like you go right back up back in your mid 30s.
At the point guard position.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously he can score more. We saw in the playoffs that Kyle can score more, but like to do that sustainably over a regular season. it's kind of not realistic. And so, like, that's why you kind of want Norman there. Because, like, you got... We know Norman and Gasol have some sort of chemistry.
Yeah.
In the sense that Gasol likes to pass and Norman likes to shoot. That's a good combo. It really is. I mean, it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but it's a good combo. I'm hoping Gasol shoots more next year.
That's one guy that I think will take... I think the drop-off in offensive production from Gasol, from JV to Gasol, wasn't ideal at times.
Mm-hmm.
And if Gasol can work on some of the floor spacing, like JV's free throw line jumper was one of my favorite pieces of the Raptors offense in this entire sort of nearly decade long run. If Gasol can do something like that, I know he doesn't get very much lift and it's never been a part of his game. That would, I think, offer a lot of space for guys on the weak side, like Norm Powell,
right,
to get those corner looks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, hopefully he's the guy who's scoring.
Also, just JV's finishing on the roll. Like, he was insanely efficient.
Yeah.
It was weird how badly Gasol was finishing on the basket. Because his finishing numbers traditionally haven't been bad. Like, he's clearly a guy with skill.
They've been trending
and touch.
In the wrong direction, though. And, like, his post-up efficiency in Memphis was, like, really poor. Yeah. Like, he has no real viable post-game anymore. And
that stupid little turnaround jump shot, I mean, he hits it sometimes and it looks great, but most of the time that does not go.
It's irritating that he just, like, doesn't really ever go up strong, right? And
and
oftentimes just, like, doesn't look to shoot. Like, I was fine for last year's team.
Oh, yeah, because you have Kawhi and Pascal, and you want those guys to shoot regardless. Yeah.
So I think for this year's team, you would probably like to see him be a little bit more assertive offensively and looking for his own shot, like... You know, you're talking about what they lost with the JV to Gasol switch, and I think that switch obviously was really worthwhile for last year's team. Mm-hmm. I think for this year's team, you might rather have JV there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just because, you know, I do think offense is going to be really hard to come by at times.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice to have a guy who was, like, really rolling hard to the rim, like, and going up strong and, like, you know, getting to the free throw line as well. Like, that was something that JV did pretty well, but I don't know. I don't know if Mark is, like, capable of doing that anymore. I know he was, like, averaging 15 points a game in Memphis before he came over.
Yeah,
but
it was kind of, like, not as efficient as you would like him to be. And, like, Mark's never necessarily been a high efficiency guy. That's the weird thing with him.
Even
as a center, he took a lot of mid-range shots. Obviously, like, that's not going to help your efficiency overall, but he also wasn't a guy that, like, got to the free throw line all the time. He was very much a guy who... Not like what you saw last year, where he would take, like, 5 shots a game. That was weird. I think there's going to be more in terms of his offensive output. Not to, like, you know, whatever. But, like, I actually asked Nick about this, and he did say that, like, yeah, he wants more. He knows that Mark needs to do more offensively. And, like, obviously last year it's a different scenario. A lot of space on the floor, a lot of setting screens. But this year I think there'll be a lot more Mark-oriented offense. And I also think, like, a full training camp with Mark is going to really help, too.
Yeah.
Because you're not just going to bring in a guy like that who touches the ball so much as a front-court guy without having, like, experience and everyone to work around him and stuff. You saw last year, everything was, like, a work in progress. Everything was on the fly. If you have him for the whole season, you tell him, like, this is a contract year for you. Like, we expect this and this and this. I think he could probably deliver.
It's just weird to me that he doesn't have an effective post-game because he's super strong.
Yep.
He's very skilled. He's got great hands. Like, he moves his feet well. All the ingredients are there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should be a really effective post scorer, and he just isn't for some reason.
Why doesn't he take a hook shot? He doesn't like so JV loved the hook shot, right?
Left
hand,
baby
right
hook.
Hand. Yeah, that is go to move. Gasol doesn't go to a hook. I don't know.
I don't think Mark Gasol have the, like, explosiveness to, like, get to put the space and get the ball up that quickly. Every move
he doesn't
seems
get off the ground at all.
Kind of lumbered.
Yeah,
it's nice. Like, he's so smart that even moving slower than you'd like, he's doing amazing things with the ball. Though I wanted to bounce back. So we have no belief that OG can be a real offensive contributor. I don't really. Not right now. Not until you see that some of the bounce is back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he'll be someone who, like, if OG comes back looking like, you know, half of the athlete we saw pre-draft, I think he could be someone who could draw a ton of fouls and get in the paint and make some noise there. But it doesn't seem like he's, you know, last year was a difficult year for him, and my heart goes out to him, but I haven't seen that kind of explosiveness since he joined the team. He's really, really smart, and I think his jump shooting is actually better than I thought it would be at this point. But I don't know how he becomes an offensive contributor unless he's able to get a first step on guys.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I guess my thought is the explosiveness doesn't show up sometimes, I think, just because he's spending so much time just, like, standing in the corner.
Yep.
And so I'm sort of thinking of ways that they can involve him in the offense that makes sense, because the times that they've tried to put the ball in his hands, it hasn't gone particularly well. Like, he doesn't have the handle.
No.
And, you know, having him run pick and roll, even in summer league, was a bit of an adventure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, maybe using him as, like, a screener in pick and roll a little bit more and seeing, okay. you know, if you can get him kind of diving to the rim, like, catching some lobs, maybe,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
if, like, I didn't even know, like, is he a good screen setter? I feel like he sets so few screens yeah. that, like, you don't even really have a chance to find out, but,
yeah.
Like, in that role, and I actually think he's a pretty good passer, and he just, yeah, again, yeah, doesn't have the opportunity to show that off too often because the ball isn't ever in his hands, so... If you can maybe turn him into, like, a bit of a short roll threat.
Yeah, that could be cool.
And work on that. Like, maybe that's a way to involve him more in the offense. Because otherwise, it's like, it doesn't make sense to put the ball in his hands. No. Like, he's a decent enough shooter that you can have him sort of space out.
Yeah.
Have him play in the corner so that he can, you know, make those cuts along the baseline. But it's just, like, finding a consistent role for him, I think, is going to be difficult, offensively at least.
But he's expected to be the starting three.
Or I think so.
Will it be an open competition between him and Johnson, I
guess? Hollis Jefferson.
I don't think.
I mean, or he's more of a four, maybe.
Yeah.
I also asked Nurse Moses, and he said basically that he obviously has a couple scenarios in mind. Because the way I phrased it to him was, like, you know, last year you had, like, seven starters
yep.
coming into camp, and you had to sort of, like, decide on the fly and stuff like that. But it didn't seem like too much of an importance to him. And he's like, yeah, basically it's going to be the same situation. Like, he could see a bit of Pascal at three with, like, Mark and Serge, and I was like, wild. But then he was like, yeah, OG could sneak in there. Talked about Norm, obviously. Fred could play a lot of two guard as well. So it seems like those are the guys. I don't think any of the newcomers are going to come in and start.
I hate the idea of Pascal playing at three.
Why?
Because I think he can be an elite power forward.
He already kind of is a really good, really close to elite power forward.
I think if you let him play power forward all season, I think he can start in the All-Star game. Like, I think... He's that close to the tippy top of ability in that, for that position.
Mm.
Okay. I can't think of many fours that can stay in front of him in transition. If he's able to, I know that the corner three fell off a cliff as the playoffs went on, but if he's able to stroke that in the 36 to even as low as like 35%, and then he's a real threat from there, why put him at three with worse defensive assignments and less ability to handle the ball and pick and roll with Kyle or Fred? Like, I think there he's – that is the Raptors' best offense.
Mm.
Kyle and Pascal. What is it – what benefit do we get out of running him in the three?
I think it's his idea to sort of just get the ball in his hands a little bit more, let him, like, run a couple more sets. Like, and it's – I think it depends on what they see as a long-term trajectory for him. Like, do you see him going along, like – a Giannis style path, and if you see him going through a Giannis style path, then like Giannis is somewhere between a three and a four. He's a four right now, but he played obviously a lot of three in his career as well.
Yeah. Okay, we're not like these distinctions offensively don't really mean anything anymore. I don't think.
Okay,
I think it's really just about who you guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like offensively, regardless of whether he's playing three or the four, he's going to be handling the ball a lot. Yeah. I think.
Okay,
and. The big difference to me is, like, who do you want him guarding? And I think you don't really want him guarding threes. You probably want him guarding fours. Like, he's going to switch a bunch anyway. But mm-hmm. If he's playing three, who's playing four and five? And then how does that defensive alignment really work? Like, is he playing three with Ibaka at the four and Gasol at the five? Or is it, like, RHJ at the four and Ibaka or Gasol at the five? Like,
or maybe OG at four. Like, yeah. Defensively, if you want OG covering fours... Which I don't think is great. I think you probably just want OG on threes. OG's pretty good on the wing defensively.
He's a great wing defender.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it doesn't really matter all that much. I think you just want to make sure that you have ideal defensive assignments because offensively, like Siakam, what's great about him is he's the kind of player who like he can be the four defensively, but he can also function basically like a one mm-hmm. offensively. He's maybe not quite there yet, but there are going to be a lot of times this season where he's a primary ball handler. So
right.
I can't wait. I can't wait for this season. I think it'll just be a lot of fun. Like, to me, if in a down Raptor season where Pascal shows everything that he can do, it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure that there are going to be hiccups, right? Like, there are going to be some games where he looks a little bit, I don't want to say overmatched, but like...
pressed.
Like, he's going to be asked to do a lot, and I think that sometimes it's going to be a bit rough, but I think it's going to be a really important season for him, and there are also going to be games where he looks like he did in that Wizards game last year, where it's just like nobody knows what to do with him. And I'm like you, like I'm super excited to just see that and like really just see how high he can go, because he has already exceeded my expectations for him, and I was like really high on him even like from the time that he was a rookie.
Right.
And he's already exceeded my what I thought were lofty expectations. So for me it's like all bets are off at this point, you know? Like I am not putting any limit on how high he can go. And I've said this a number of times, like I think the pull-up jumper is just such an important piece for him to add. And
yeah, definitely. Especially if he's going to handle the ball more. And if you're not a pull-up threat, then it's a real issue for you.
And especially because like this team is so light on shooting, man. Yeah, like it's crazy. And if like the
Matt Thomas though.
Yeah, Matt Thomas, exactly. But this is
Matt Thomas always has a check.
Fact.
Like who else out here talking about Matt Thomas that much, right?
But yeah, I think so. Probably my biggest concern with the Pascal thing is I don't know if the floor is going to be spread for him the way that he really needs it to be. And so
there's a way you could, though. Like, if you put Mark out there, fine.
I don't want to see Mark out there anymore. I thought you were going to say that.
Why?
I don't really believe in Marc Gasol out of the three-point line any longer.
I
don't want
Mark is good at the shooting. Definitely
is
a good shooter.
I know he's good at shooting, but I don't like it the way it looks any longer. I don't want to watch that.
I was going to say, I was gonna take the opposite approach. I wouldn't even mind if he took like a Brook Lopez approach. It's like anytime he touches the ball next year, shoot that thing.
But Brook Lopez, who can also like dime guys up from the high post.
Yeah.
Which would be nice.
Be very nice.
Because he functionally could do all that. Yeah. I think it's just against Mark's instincts. But no, he's a good shooter, man.
I would like to see him actually be
What's
a more willing three-point
shooter
next season.
Because he doesn't get any lift, and I can't stand watching him shoot.
It actually does look hilarious.
It looks nuts,
It looks like he's shooting a free throw.
I think, 45% from three when he, like, as a Raptor last year.
Yeah, it was like on above, how many above
40. He was very selective.
Okay.
It was like maybe three.
I think it was
game.
Like two.
Two attempts per game.
I would like to see him be a little bit less judicious and more willing to pull the trigger on those threes, actually. And they're going to need him to be. Like I agree with you. Like, I think that he needs to be a floor spacer. And it would be nice maybe if he didn't have to be as much, but there's just a dearth of shooting on this team. And like, so if that space isn't really being created for Pascal by the rest of the roster, then he is going to have to kind of create it himself by being a threat to pull up.
Right. And
Serge Ibaka will shoot.
This is the thing. I think
Serge's three, like last, like what happened? Like he shot 27% from three last year.
I still think he was practicing in the last year.
But like, he splashed it in Ben Simmons' face.
Oh, buddy. Ben.
That was the real shot to me. That was out of control.
The shot doesn't happen without Serge's shot.
Exactly.
I was going to say, because there is a framework here. If they see Pascal as like a Giannis type, which I think he's a Giannis type. He's obviously not as good as Giannis. Not as physically imposing as Giannis.
No one will ever look like
that. But like,
he's in the same mold.
Exactly, right? If you want to see if he can sort of progress in that sort of path that Giannis progressed on, then you probably want a system similar to Milwaukee's where you have a center like Brook Lopez. And like, if Mark can be Brook Lopez he outplayed Brook Lopez in the playoffs, man.
He did, but yeah. He's a more skilled player. I think Brook Lopez way later on his feet. Like, Marc Gasol just, it feels slow to.
Come on.
I want to see Marc Gasol in the high post. I'd like to see him at the free throw line, but I don't want to see him all the way up. I don't know. I love you, Mark. I hope that you and your family are enjoying your summer. Are you, I guess, is he like helping people
in the Mediterranean
again?
That's an incredible story that he did.
It's amazing.
You know, I can't believe he did that.
Real hero.
It really shows how, like, I don't know. Like, most NBA players wouldn't do that. You know what I mean?
Most
people have that amount of privilege in terms of just, like, you're making, like, you know, $20 million a year.
Yeah.
You're not going to the Mediterranean to do that. You're going to the Mediterranean to, like, you know, take selfless.
To drink Peronis.
Shirtless selfies.
Like, I mean, Marc Gasol with a shirt off.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why he's helping refugees.
Exactly. He's like, I'm a little shy about my shirt being off. What topic are we on?
Technically, we are on Kyle Rudolph for USA basketball. Okay. This is good.
August
basketball. You don't want to follow these topics, I promise you. The next topic is Fred VanVleet looking like Steph at Rico Hines.
Oh, yeah, he did look nice at the run.
Now, granted, we have to say, the only footage we ever get are only the makes. Yeah. And occasional, like, very impressive blocks.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, like, Pascal had his, like, Rico Hines glow up last offseason.
Facts.
Yep. And
facts. That was wonderful footage.
It was, you know, it portended amazing things. And I think if you just sort of see this, you know, Fred offseason footage as a continuation of what he did in the last two rounds of the playoffs, pretty easy to get very excited about what he might be able to do in an expanded role next season.
I can't believe how good Fred was. Because I was.
He's taking very, very deep shots. And, he just looks like the most in control. The only difference actually this year, I should note that last year, I think it felt like Rico Hines was getting like the A tier kind of player. Like Westbrook was there, Harden was there. I think KD showed up for like a game or two, you know, like that kind of caliber. Not every single day, but like they were sprinkled throughout. This year, I think the best player that showed up might be DeMar so far.
Yeah. Or Fred.
Or Fred. That's what I'm saying. Fred is like the next best.
Yeah. I remember that, like, last year, just seeing, and like you said, they only show the makes. So it's like, I remember seeing one team, and it was like Westbrook, Harden, and like, it was like a bunch of like superstar players, and it just looked like they were playing against a team of like the Raptors bench mob, basically.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
And so watching the footage, it just seemed like they were getting run by the Raptors bench.
Oh,
like,
man.
Just getting lit up by Norm Powell.
Yo, Norm had a sequence where he blocked Paul George, and then he like dunked on Paul George like later in that run.
How is Paul George doing? His shoulders look.
I mean,
they looked bad at the end of last season. I don't know.
Playoff P, baby. He went from playoff P to playoff P.
Do we know like what, like, kind of surgery he had? Like, all I keep hearing is that he had shoulder surgery, but
I don't know.
Was it like a torn rotator cuff? Is it like a labrum? Like, what are we dealing with here?
This is the tennis/baseball enthusiast in you coming up.
Yeah, seriously.
You know too much about shoulder surgery.
Tommy John's your elbow, right?
Yeah, that's Tommy John's elbow. But yeah, I'm dealing with a partially torn rotator cuff right now, and it's rough, man. Like,
is it from playing tennis?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't. I cannot raise my arm above my shoulder currently. So.
Wow, Marco Fultz.
Well, how
John McCain?
Oh God! Oh my goodness!
Scratch that part.
Oh my goodness!
Let's go with Markel Fultz.
What happens in the summertime? Right?
What is Markel Fultz?
It's weird that they asked what's the Jeff Weltman, former Raptor Jeff Weltman.
Shout out.
I still can't believe Masai was like, you can hire Jeff for a promotion, but you must give me a second round pick.
Who did we use? Did we trade it?
I think we traded it.
In the Spurs deal?
I think in the Gasol deal, maybe.
Or
maybe we traded it from the Spurs deal. That'd be amazing. I think like, we'll give you Kawhi, and here's Jeff Weltman.
No, there's a first-round pick in the Kawhi deal.
That's right.
I have no idea where that pick is. Like, shout out to you, whoever that pick was used on.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have a great career.
Fred looks like Steph at Rico Hines.
Fred looks like Steph, period. After Fred VanVleet
had a
Jr.
child, he looks much healthier, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, he looked
really good. It's a great sign, because last year he had like little back issues, he had little like...
He broke his hand?
Yeah, he had hand issues. I mean, it was just like, he had a lot of things he was dealing with. Obviously, you know, I think there were parts of his game, I don't think you could put it all on injury, but he just didn't look explosive at all.
Right.
The amount of times the guy went into traffic and got his ass blocked was like too many times. Yeah. My liking. And I feel like that's still going to happen because he's still like 5 foot, you know, six. But like, it's encouraging to see this.
This is, I do think there are impediments to him. You know, you're talking about Josh, you're talking about him potentially taking the mantle of, you know, future starting point guard of the Raptors. I still feel like I need to see a lot of stuff to believe in that. Like, you know, his ball handling, his ability to beat guys off the dribble, like his ability to make the pocket pass and the pick and roll, like, so many things.
That's a struggle. You know how much, angry Serge is to play with him on the bench?
Yeah. And so I want to see that stuff come along this season. And, you know, thinking about potentially like him and Pascal playing together long term, that gives me a little bit more optimism because I like Fred playing off of the ball a lot. And if Pascal can be the kind of guy who can be a primary ball handler, then having
Fred could be like a really mini Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, basically, like, you know,
because Brogdon's not a point guard either.
Like a guy who defends point guards, but offensively is more of a two.
Yeah,
and he'll handle the ball a bit, but I think primarily you probably want him playing off the ball because as a catch and shoot guy, he's fantastic. As a pull up jump shooter,
not bad.
Less so.
Not
like,
bad.
Not bad. But like
we watched the finals. He was not bad at pull up shooting.
Well, it's because Steph wanted no part of it. Steph was calling for rotations.
Yo, Sean Livingston, you're about to retire? Yo, come here and guard Fred.
But
the
worry with Fred is that there's no way that he'll be able to guard any plus-size point guard. Like, there's just – Michael Carter-Williams, like, kind of dealt with him in the first round. Like, that was – the Philly series, it was a wrap. Like, it's just and it seems like some of these guys will become more and more the norm to have larger point guards if they're able to do it. And Fred VanVleet's not built for the future in that respect. I think lots of other ways he can successfully take over for Kyle Lowry, but I don't know. If next year we learn that Masai was drafting a 6'3" guard from, I don't know, no African guards are good, but...
Yeah, you're right. I just watched Ben Uzo live.
Not great.
Played for Team Nigeria, which was quite
a trip. But if we drafted another DeLon type, I could see the wisdom in doing so.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing with, in terms of what might give me confidence in terms of Fred, obviously, aside from the fact that he's, like, incredibly clutch and he's had some huge moments as a Raptor.
Unbelievable,
Raptor. Dude. He's already a Raptor legend. But, like, in winning the finals, I feel like certain players, they take that kind of confidence and they apply it to the game, and sometimes in a real productive way. And I feel like maybe for Fred, like part of what the Rico Hines runs are really impressive is that Fred is shooting a lot of these shots off the dribble, and we don't know how many times he's missing, obviously, right? So like, we don't see that part, but like, if he's a really good shooter, and if he has this kind of confidence, and next year he's starting to pull up off pick and rolls, kind of the way like Kyle Lowry did, which was a huge development in Kyle's game. It jumped from like 15 points a game to like 22 points per game just off pull up jump shots. If he has the confidence to do that, and he can actually hit those effectively, then all of a sudden, we are talking about a starting caliber point guard. Because he does do a lot of things well.
He's a starting caliber point guard who needs a Draymond / Pascal Siakam sort of plus-plus guy who can rip the ball off the backboard and operate on fast break with him. But don't get me wrong. Like, if Fred VanVleet checks the boxes to be a starting guard for this team, I'm excited. Right. I think that some of the things can't be taken for granted right now, especially needing a two guard who can defend elite point guards next to him, because Fred will never be the kind of guy who can guard elite point guards.
Yeah, it's tough.
Do you think he can?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Are you talking about the time he ripped Chris Paul? One of the littest games of the year, 2018.
I mean, okay, so like Fred's brand of defense is very specific, right? Yep. Like it worked exceptionally well against Steph Curry. Like, you know, you want to talk about guarding elite point guards. Like, that was a perfect example of him doing that. And, like, I guess it's a question of how much longer he will basically be, like, have the quickness and the energy to, like, hound guys full court. But he really gets into guys.
Yep.
And, he can really put a lot of pressure on the ball. And, like, he's physical, but... he's not like super handsy. Like, he doesn't commit that many ticky tack fouls. And like, I actually think as a point guard defender, he's really good. Obviously, like, some of the bigger guys will give him trouble for sure. And like, you talked about Brogdon before, like there were a couple Bucks games this year where he got matched up on Brogdon and Brogdon just kind of like scoffed and like drove straight to the rim and scored easily over him. Like, the bigger guys will give him some trouble, but against like normal size point guards, like a Dame Lillard type even,
there's apparently a party going on. Yeah, in Jesus, this is great. Okay,
They're watching the Rico Hines footage of Fred VanVleet.
They're like, "Yo, look what Juan Hernandez is doing." Matt Thomas, 99.
But yeah, against those guys, against like Chris Paul types, Steph Curry types, like
for sure.
I don't think there's a much better point guard defender in the league than Fred. I think
it's a matchup things. What you saying?
It's a matchup thing.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and that Philly matchup, we all know, terrible matchup.
But, like, Indiana matchup now is a bad sight for Fred. Brogdon yeah, either, and Oladipo is yeah. nuts.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how Oladipo is after
he could, I think Oladipo will be.
I think Fred could do all right on Oladipo. Like,
I want VO to come back. I like that guy.
Yeah, he seems like a cool dude.
Can sing his ass off.
Yeah, yeah. What else do I have here? The whole roster is at Rico Hines. I don't know. Why is this a point?
They all have homes in California.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. But and Fred, still Fred have is the there. Same group chat. Do you think they all have like a giant Airbnb that they just like the Raptors rented out for like a whole summer? Because like you got Fred, Norm, Pat McCaw, Stanley Johnson, Rodney Hollis Jefferson, Chris Boucher, Malcolm Miller, Cam Payne, DeJuan Hernandez, Terrence Davis, Matt Thomas, Malcolm Miller, and Jordan Lloyd. Now Jordan Lloyd is no longer with the Raptors, but he was in many of these videos wearing Raptor gear. It was after he signed overseas and got some money, which is great. Like,
yeah,
Jordan Lloyd really does deserve to get a paycheck and stuff like that. But like, that's incredible. That's an incredible turnout. Like, I honestly don't even know what would be happening in the Rico Hines runs if it wasn't for these Raptors. They sent like two units.
Yeah, I mean, good. It's good. Yeah. I'm glad they're hanging out. So long as they don't show up at Taco Tuesday, life's good with me.
Yeah.
But the last few years, the Raptors have done runs together and lots of the guys have shown up.
Yep.
Especially with everyone dropping out of USA Basketball, it seems like more people are around to have a good time. And they're all going to, what's that, Dandelion or Delilah, whatever those, Dandelion's here, Delilah, the club in Los Angeles. They're just hanging out. Drake's probably asking them to listen to his new song with Sway Lee. It's a great time.
Oh yeah, you messaged me about it. I didn't hear about it. I thought you were talking about Money in the Grave.
No, we don't want to talk about
Money in the Grave.
But I'm sure, yeah, it's great. I am happy to see them having a good time. I hope that the Raptors will have a consistent bench unit coming out of these games,
right?
Because that's sort of where we first saw the bench mob coming together three summers ago. Now, when you saw, I know, crazy. So hopefully going into next season, we won't have the kind of tumult we had last year with the bench unit being very, very inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it never was good. Like, it only got good when you slashed the rotation from 9 or 10 guys to 8 guys or 7 guys.
Yeah, once they took Jeremy out, it was fine.
Oh. Man, I'm glad you said it.
Off the bench, I'm a little worried about the bench next year, to be honest.
Why?
Especially if Fred is starting.
So like, there's no shooting? Is that what you're concerned
about? There's zero shooting.
Stanley Johnson, baby.
There is no shooting.
Unlike
Chris Boucher?
They might do like a Kyle Post bench unit like they did in 2015.
Kyle's too old for this, man. You gotta stop asking Kyle to prop up like Patrick Patterson and Bebe Nogueira front courts. They won a lot of games with Patrick Patterson and Bebe Nogueira front courts. This is why I'm like, when I look at the talent, I'm like, they'll make it work.
Yeah, yeah. This is why Kyle Lowry's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, That guy just makes it work.
Kyle Lowry's going to be on the Hall of Fame cusp, though, for many years. I'll say that. It'll be one of those guys.
Yeah, he's not going to get in in a strong year.
I think it'll come down to like what happens the next 2-3 years. Like, if he continues to play at an all-star level for like 2 more years and has another couple of deep playoff runs, then I feel like that might be enough to put him over the top. Or if
he,
you know,
hit that shot over Draymond, Kyle Lowry's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
That'd be hilarious if you had that shot over Draymond.
It would be amazing.
The NBA Finals ended on a Kyle Lowry game winner.
It would have been too much.
What do you
to
say?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there would have been people still who said that he wasn't a playoff performer. But
yeah,
I think that he can get there. It's just longevity is, I think, a point in a lot of guys' favor. And if he can keep it up for another couple of years, or like if, you know, his contract expires and he signs on with another team and wins another chip.
I don't want to think about that.
I'm not gonna lie. If he went to Philly, they win another chip.
And yeah, I'd be happy. I'd be happy to see that happen.
I'm not happy to see his Philadelphia win, but
come on.
I'd be happy to see Kyle win.
Yeah,
I'd be happy to see Kyle win.
Yeah, Ben Simmons Finals MVP turns by.
Ben Simmons coming off the bench when Kyle goes there.
That's the only way it works.
What was this top question that we started with?
The question is not a question. Oh, the question was the whole roster, there, and I read the whole roster out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm worried about the bench is what I was saying, yeah.
And hopefully these runs will put together some chemistry that
carries
into the training camp.
I feel like Serge might be the go-to guy off the bench.
That'd be great.
Is it?
Serge Ibaka is very infuriating, but it's always entertaining. If Serge Ibaka is the go-to option, I don't think you have a very good team, but it will be entertaining for me to watch.
Okay.
And look, I've explained this to you personally. Now that the Raptors are NBA champions, I have zero sports anxiety.
Yeah, you're right.
I can watch Serge Ibaka, you know,
try to dribble a basketball. You can appreciate the hilarity of it.
Yeah,
now.
And it's just TV. It's reality TV now. It's like
I would love to see Nick Nurse, like, put Serge Ibaka in like a Pascal Siakam type of role.
Oh, that'd be so much. Yeah, just for 15 minutes.
They're already putting Chris Boucher in that run.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, yeah. How are they going to cobble together any scoring with these bench units? I mean, realistically, Serge. They will
pick and pop with Serge.
They got to stagger Kyle and Fred and have one of those guys out there with the bench units.
They'll do that.
If Norm isn't able to hold down the two guard position, he'd be great as a bench option as he was last year.
It's pretty uninspiring. Like I really like Hollis Jefferson as a defensive
player.
Will
looks so sad thinking about these bench rotations.
I gotta be in a lot of these games, guys. I gotta be in a lot of them.
Yeah, it's like I think the bench has like a cumulative 49% true shooting.
Yikes!
Like RHJ and Stanley Johnson.
Our bench or the Magic bench?
Which would I take?
Yeah. The Magic bench guys like Michael Carter-Williams, Terrence Ross, Ken Burch.
Yeah, probably take the Magic bench. Man.
Oh my God, guys, come on!
Sorry,
I like Ken Burch
and Terrence Ross.
T. Ross became good. He became an NBA player for as long as he wants to be, and I didn't think that would be the case.
I really thought best case scenario he would be Gerald Green with like 10 full fingers, but
God.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, you say some... Like, I listen to this show as a listener. You say some fucked up stuff, man.
People don't appreciate that about Gerald Green, man. He's got, like, 4.5 fingers on his, like, right hand, and he's a really good shooter.
Is he going to be back? What is he doing now?
I don't know. I think he lives in Houston, so they're like, if you want me to play basketball for the Rockets, I'll do it.
He just shows up at games in a jersey.
He's like, you guys need me?
Daryl Morey's like, yeah, this guy has not been collecting a paycheck for the last 2 years.
That's very funny. He just shows up in his kit.
It's just him and Corey.
He's Brewer. A full kit wanker.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
I don't want any smoke with you. You seem kind of like you fight. So no smoke with Joe Green.
But yeah, the Magic bench is. I mean, we'll see what happens with Fultz. I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Come on, man. We're talking about Fultz. I guess I'd rather have campaign at this point. Actually, I don't know if I'd rather have campaign.
No. But like, yeah, Ross was like one of the most efficient scorers out of the pick and roll last year.
Off like pulling up from three and getting
like,
fouled.
I would be so thrilled to have Terrence Ross coming off the Raptors bench next year.
Yeah,
like
that's gettable. We could get Terrence Ross. That's what I'm saying. The bench is not that bad. They can fix the bench real quick. They can see what they have.
It's a lot of movable contracts on the bench.
Yeah. Hopefully plus you don't have Matt Thomas.
Yeah.
All right, some rapid fire things. DeLon Wright says he doesn't feel like he's actually part of the Raptors championship run.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's kind of sad.
But it
makes
sense.
He was here for like 4 years.
But it makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't really feel like he was part of it either. I really enjoyed DeLon Wright as a player.
Did you think about DeLon Wright at any point during the playoffs?
Yeah. Yes.
During the Philly series.
During the Orlando series, too. Like, it started. When Fred was like, oh, Fred is might, like, and seeing Philly coming up, I'm like, this could be hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. During the Philly series, I definitely thought it would be really nice to have DeLon Wright right now.
I think you did a playoff preview, and
I think you asked the question.
I asked the question if you could get any one player from the lot, like the sort of 2013 plus run on this team. Mm-hmm. You're like, my answer was Lou Will. You said,
what is going on?
DeLon Wright. Yeah, what is going on? They're just wild. Really watching some
DeLon Wright highlights.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, DeLon Wright, what is it? I'm really happy for him. I feel bad that he does. But he wasn't on the team the day they won the championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he landed in a really good situation.
A great situation.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like, I don't know if he'll start. Like, do you think he'll start there?
I think he has to. Who's their...
I mean, they could, like start Doncic as their point guard, basically.
I kind of like Jalen Brunson.
I like Jalen Brunson, too,
he's a little Freddie Van Fleet-ish.
To me, like, his ceiling is lower than DeLon's is, even though I guess DeLon's...
How old? But DeLon's like 20, 27.
Yeah, he's 27. Like, that's...
But I think he's such a great fit next to Doncic because like he can obviously play on the ball. He can play off the ball a bit,
mm-hmm.
And he can defend you know, ones and twos, which is like Doncic. Yeah. You want him to be like a point guard offensively, maybe, but more of like a 3-4 defensively.
Yeah.
And I think DeLon's like a perfect guy to guard ones and twos for that team.
Right.
And I'm glad that the Mavs have somebody black on that team.
Oh, yeah, that's
it
right.
seemed
that's,
touch and go there for a little, and like I mean, a guy who came
they were
up
on a real roll. Like statistically, it was just unlikely for
and
that
then
to
Mark
not
Cuban
be a
Cuban started
strategy.
Talking all that shit about AAU guys being, you know, it was not okay.
If everyone played basketball in Slovenia, yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling you, after the 45-minute mark of every podcast, it just
all right. What's next? Rapid fire question.
Next rapid fire question. Danny Green refuses to leave Toronto. He met up with Russell Peters. Remember when Russell Peters was like, cool. The man, 2008.
Yeah. Earlier when than he, that, when 2006.
When he came out with the somebody going to get hurt real bad.
That was like 2003, dog.
That was 2003?
When did we met in like 2007? It was like we'd been known about Russell Peters.
Wow.
I mean, Toronto's great in the summer. Everybody knows it. Like, it's great. And you're
he was in Brampton. I mean, Danny loves, like, I love Toronto. I haven't been in Brampton in like 3 years. When I helped someone move there.
He's been to like more places in Canada, I think, than I have.
Definitely.
Yeah,
he's
been
a
in
camp,
like Vancouver,
like
Halifax. He'd been in Manitoba. I'd never been in Manitoba.
Yeah.
That's true.
He was in like Huntsville.
Yeah.
You've been all over Boogie the place.
He was at EFS with Bianca Andreescu, which shout out to Joe
Wolfson's
incredible future.
Hey, thanks, man.
It was good.
Go read that. But yeah, he was at EFS. What's the appeal of EFS? Not. I guess I should ask Harrison about this.
I mean,
he would have had better answers.
It's the same, you know the appeal.
He was at the Jays game. We'll just move past that one. He was at the Jays game.
Yeah. You know what happens to me in a Jays game as a Raptor legend. Is Danny Green a Raptor legend? He's a Toronto legend.
People really love Danny Green
because he showed a lot of love to the city.
Yeah, and that's all Toronto really wants. I mean, want to win a championship first, but like you just want people that actually like here and. Especially Americans that are like, wow, this place is surprisingly good.
Yeah, people
are
going to love Amir Johnson for the rest of...
Yeah, I love Amir Johnson. Shout out, I rolled with Amir.
Dude, if you just like come and play for a sports team here and express a love for the city and like make an effort to connect with the fans, like you will be beloved.
Facts.
Forever.
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 And I think...
We still bring JYD back all the time.
Well, do you think Kawhi Leonard will ever come to like a former Raptors appreciation event?
I'd be weird, and I don't think so. No. I don't think Kawhi wants to go to any event other than only the basketball games that he wants to play, where he's not load managing. No, but seriously, have you those like the videos of him like at the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Award, and he's just like, I don't want to be here. I'm wearing a t-shirt and like track pants.
Can you imagine?
Like, yo, you're at an award show with t-shirts and track pants. That's
Kawhi
an incredible
Leonard,
flex.
Muggsy Bogues.
What they did this year in the playoffs? When they brought
Del Curry all just waving at midcourt in like, I don't know, 2027.
Mo Pete's there.
Yeah, oh man. And Mo Pete is like, he's balding now, but he still has the cornrows. That's
shouts
such a
Mo
funny
Pete.
Idea.
Yeah,
oh, legend.
Yeah, that's a real Raptor legend.
But yeah, I think what people love so much about Danny Green was like, first of all, he was great. He had a great season.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a rough playoff run, but...
Great game three.
He really embraced that role of being almost like an ombudsman for the team.
Yep.
Yeah.
And just like being able to communicate like stuff that was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Be almost like a spokesperson for Kawhi and like the rest of the team. And like,
oh, he loved being a spokesperson.
And
for
he was, yeah.
Like,
I went
no,
to
he,
the
he hated that part, but everything
I went
else
to
was,
the
no,
Heat game, and he was the person who like addressed the crowd. Like he seemed to really, for whatever reason, really immediate. Chemistry with the fan base and
Well, I think he's just like comfortable being like an outward facing voice like for the team and like I think he's just felt really like comfortable in that role of being able to communicate with the fans, and I think he did a great job of it, and everyone obviously really appreciated him for that. So sad to see him go, but
he'll be here.
He hasn't left yet.
Training camp.
Oh man, he loves it here, man.
Who wouldn't?
He loves it here. Exactly, and who wouldn't love to spend all the summer in Toronto and then go to LA to work for the rest of the year?
It's great time. It's great time.
Yeah, it really is. Last thing, ESPN projections came out.
Oh,
I want to read all the numbers, but the Raptors are fifth behind the Magic. So they had the Bucks number one, which I think is absolutely correct. I think Sixers number two, Celtics a close third.
I think the Celtics were number two actually.
Celtics number two. Okay, so the Sixers three, and then the Magic were four.
It was just based on RPM, though, right?
It was based strictly on RPM.
Okay.
A very small paragraph was added, but for one of the reasons why the Magic jumped from the seventh seed up to the fourth seed was they added RPM God Al-Farouq Aminu, who I had watched live play next to Ben Uzo, and Al-Farouq was having a hard time scoring on O'Shea Brissett. So I don't know why the RPM didn't really go to the Nigerian team, but yeah, what do you guys think? Raptors, I think they had them at 45 and a half wins or something like that.
I just think...
Well, then what were the Magic at?
Don't ask me these questions. Don't ask follow-up questions on the podcast. I only do so much research, man.
I think it's pointless to look or care about projections that go strictly off of one statistic. Like,
yeah,
it just... Like, it can tell you something, I guess, but at the end of the day, like, it's one stat.
Mm-hmm.
And to use one stat to make a projection like that, like, it's fine if it's one way to look at things, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I actually, like, the Magic will be a playoff team in my mind.
They're
like,
a good team.
I think they're pretty
good. They're probably right now a more cogently constructed team than the Raptors. Like, they don't have the same top end.
I disagree with that.
If we play in the playoffs, we're beating the Magic.
Yes, at a seven-man roster, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think 6-10 for the Magic make a bit more sense than 6-10 for the Raptors today.
For sure.
The Magic have, like, way too many power forwards and not nearly enough guards. And I think,
also, what's up with Mo Bamba? He's just never going to play, huh?
Is he never going to play? I thought
they just signed Vucevic like 100 mil.
And neither of those guys can play the four either. So
not even close.
I don't know. Maybe they just consider him a long, long, long-term project, which is totally fair. He looked so raw last
season. And Gordon could be gone.
I like Gordon. I like Aaron Gordon.
It's a really movable contract.
Yeah. And I think that's what's going to happen.
If they can go out and get, I don't know, Chris Paul.
Oh, God.
I know they won't. But, like, if they're able to go out and get a real point guard, it could be worthwhile to shake the table.
I think the guy they'll go after is probably Russell. Like, if they could flip Gordon for Russell. Like, Gordon would be a great fit with the Warriors. And
like
Russell
that.
Would be a nice fit with
that
the Magic.
Be so much fun.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately, like, they have so much forward depth, they'll probably flip one of those guys, whether it's Gordon. I think they like Isaac more as a long-term piece, so they'll probably keep Isaac. But Gordon, like you said, like, he's more of a finished product, and he has that contract that's movable. Like, I think that's probably the guy they're going to trade.
Yeah. Mm. I like the Magic.
But do you like the Magic more than the Raptors?
I would expect the Raptors to finish ahead of the Magic.
But I get the projection.
Word.
Yeah.
Makes some sense.
All right. I was hoping to manufacture fake outrage, but you guys are not having it. That's okay. It's the summertime. What's there to be done?
It's the Celtics being ahead of the Raptors. That's bullshit.
Oh, man. This Celtics team is winning. This Celtics team is a very, very good Orlando or Charlotte Hornets team. All right. They even have Kemba Walker on it. But if you just look at the names on the front.
I mean,
that is a Hornets ass roster right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, this is. I don't really see it.
Their big man is Enes Kanter. Their starting big man is Enes Kanter.
All I have to say is that Kemba Walker's best teammate remains 2013-14 Al Jefferson. That situation did not improve with his move to Boston.
That's. Yeah. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I think Jaylen Brown will be all right.
Well, that is for the podcast. We somehow got through a whole hour of this, so that's pretty good. People are trying to get us out of this boardroom now. So, Josh, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Of course.
Anything to plug?
Fundraise wisely. The startup I work at across the street.
Great.
None of you are working development shops, but if you do, holler at your boy.
All right. Joey?
You plugged it already, but I wrote a piece about Bianca Andreescu.
An incredible
it's
piece.
So good.
Teenage it's... tennis phenom. And just a very mature person for her age and somebody I enjoyed talking to. And
so fucking good.
Very good. And, like, not a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
And
like,
I think...
like, tools.
And, like, fun to watch. Not like Milos Raonic.
No. Her and, you know, Felix Auger-Aliassime, who's the guy also 19 on the men's side, are... Like, they're legit, and they're going to win Grand Slams. I feel like I can say that with confidence. So if you want to learn a little bit about her and prepare for what could be a really exciting U.S. Open run, then give that piece a read.
Will, anything to plug?
listen to more of these podcasts. They will be more substantive than today's episode. But
also listen to Pound the Rock.
Oh, yeah. Always listen to Pound the Rock.
I'm obligated to plug that.
Yeah, listen to Pound the Rock. It's been a couple days since a new episode has come out, but I think that's because Cash has
been gallivanting.
In like, the hills of northern Italy.
Yeah.
He's from the north, right? He's from the north. Yeah. I don't want to offend him.
Shout out to Cash.
Yeah, he's definitely a northern Italian. Maybe. So
he's definitely an Italian of some locale.
Yeah. And not like a Woodbridge Italian. Like from Italy Italian. So anyway, thanks everyone for listening to the podcast. It'll be back next week.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.